back to another episode of What We Doing. It's your man, H.T. Sims.
St. Louis Red. So today, wanted to tap in with another brother of mine, who I've been watching develop this life journey with the youth. Gearing up, and then a pandemic hit. And essentially, he said, hell, why not now? And has been blessing. Actually, I take that back. Has actually been teaching youth in the community for years, well before opening up Sovereign University. So my brother, Dr. S. Hero Harrell, yes, sir. Like, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate you all taking time to speak with me today.
Man, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yes, sir.
So Dr. Hero, for context purposes, I would like for you to give the audience a glimpse and an understanding of who you are and what it is that you do.
All right, so I'm Dr. S. Hero Harrell. I am the lead educator of Sovereign University. That's an education company here in St. Louis. Our most notable thing that we're working right now is the homeschooling cooperative, which pretty much functions like a typical school in format, as far as we meet 5 days a week, about 6 hours a day. We have desks and we learning, but pretty much the comparisons to the traditional school system pretty much stop right there. And so it's a collective of parents, led by myself, but definitely a collection of parents that make it happen. And we pool our resources, time, and energy together to provide for our children the education that, we just trying to be astute enough to know that they're going to need to function in 2020, 2021, and going forward.
Man, that's awesome. So what was going on with you to make you want to have to start this program in this university? What was kind of things going on in your life that led to that?
I know I was going to homeschool my children before I had children.
Okay.
I just kind of knew that experiencing public school system, experiencing private school systems, knowing about like parochial schools and all of that type of history, none of those options seemed satisfactory to me. And with me being an educator by nature, I felt really confident that especially in the younger years, I can coordinate the educational journey for them. And as time developed, I continued on my own personal education journey, which led me to complete my doctorate in higher education leadership. And so the knowledge that I got from that program, I really used to craft Sovereign University, this homeschool cooperative, which is, in some ways it is ran like a closer to a, I would say, traditional higher education system than, K through 12 system, even though we do service K through 12. And inform as different instructors, immersive learning, experiential learning. You getting the theory, but practice also. We don't just rely on one pedagogy or one theory of education to guide. We're very open and really more so than anything, just the understanding that education has the opportunity to not be the responsibility of the state, mm-hmm. or an outside organizational entity, but it's more in line with family tradition, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. legacy, and just kind of growing the direction of the generations to come based on past experiences, where we are right now, and where we want things to be. So that's kind of the best way I can say it without, I know we'll get into more like specifics of what a day-to-day might look at, but, kind of broad view, that's what got me to the place where, we operate in Sovereign.
That's a knowledge bomb in itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ran through a lot right there, man. So, like, before we kind of get into the day-to-days, you said you got your doctorate. What kind of education do you have personally that kind of...
Okay, so, I completed my undergraduate study at the University of Kansas with a major in African and African American studies. My master's here in St. Louis at Fontbonne, master's in business management, and then that doctorate of higher education leadership, which I was already working in higher education at that time as an adjunct professor. I worked as an advisor, and most recently, well, still adjunct, but as far as full-time, most recently, I was a manager in the financial aid department.
Now, don't forget the two most important St. Louis Public Schools, which taught you tremendously, taught you a lot, and self-education.
Yes.
To counter what you got from
right.
the other.
You know, and that's really what I was trying to dive into.
Uh-huh.
It had to have been that St. Louis Public Education as a child. You're like, you know, this can't be it. I would rather homeschool my kids than put them through this shit here.
And that's what I'm saying. And before that, like, I experienced, like, private school, and it was more like religious based, but I mean, it was very family oriented. It was community. It was backed by something. And even though I don't necessarily, you know, not exactly in line with all of the indoctrination I got from there, I saw the model and how it worked. And I mean, and one of them was even you know, black owned, and it was black controlled, and I definitely model a lot of my operations as far as it being community base, and you know, we can do a lot being small, you know, a lot of quality work as opposed to trying to be huge. So I definitely learned from all of my past experiences. But to your point, throughout all of that, I was on a journey of self-education with reading books, living off experience, listening to elders speak and taking nuggets, and you know, kind of going back and reworking some of those thoughts in my head, like, okay, he said this, but that ain't what they said. And, you know, kind of putting some of those things together. And then, you know, when I was in college, YouTube came out.
Okay. YouTube University.
So YouTube University, you know what I'm saying, in combination with all of that. And, you know, a lot of people say that in jest, but it's a lot of trash on YouTube, but it's a lot of knowledge on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of information. There's a lot of misinformation in the world. You just have to, you know what I'm saying, vet it.
Whenever I feel like you always make that point very clear that don't try to beat up on YouTube. It's trash information on any medium, any model that you're going to have in the world. Absolutely.
And I mean, going back to our textbooks was trash information.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
History, like a whole host of them, it's just like a bunch of misinformation, a bunch of biased perspectives, you know what I mean? So at what point did you start to like look back and say, you know what, 2 + 2 = 5?
Right. Yeah, right.
This is not adding up.
I mean, to me, it's kind of always been obvious, but I wasn't like the most vocal person, so I'm not going to stand up at the mountaintop and scream that all of this is some BS, but in my own private life, I'm going to operate in the mode that, you know, makes sense to me. So I pretty much, I mean, from a child, I remember that. Like, I was talking with my homeboy, something small. The market employee of telling you that the price is $4.99 as opposed to $5.
A penny makes you think it's cheaper, but we're talking about the exact same amount of currency.
That's an insult to my intelligence.
Sure.
Because when I see $4.99 and I look in my pockets, I'm like, okay, I got a $5 bill. We can make this happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so those type of little things throughout my whole life have just kind of driven me mad quietly. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, so then it got to a point, like I say, but then once I get, like, you know, the internet kind of shrinks the world and connects us, and I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy. You know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah.
It's a lot of the vast majority of things that we see on the everyday or some degree of misinformation, even if it is, you know, the market employee to make you want to associate the price with $4 as opposed to $5 so that you subconsciously think that's cheaper. Nah.
That's a literal statement saying price it at $4.99 because people are stupid.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so I said, that's an insult, you know, to me as a consumer, but just a person, you know, like, I don't know. I don't get it, but saying all of that to say, to bring it back, I knew with my children and with any children in my families that, you know, was 6 degrees within me, I didn't want them to have to go through that process of either constant enragement and knowing everything was crazy, or the process of unschooling. You know, so
we're doing
now,
a lot of that now.
We saving them a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because we couldn't straight to the business, and it's not, I'm not giving you an education to help mold you to be a better cog in the wheel. you know, right. This is something to where you can go out and reinvent the wheel, so to speak, or decide, I don't even like wheels. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so that's really where the perspective that I come with it with the education as far as, you know, I'm always telling them that it's the youth that I work with that is not exactly what they seem. And what's been interesting, I'm kind of growing my style as an adjunct instructor in higher education to where I feel like I've gotten the comfort to have a lot of those conversations with those older students. Mm. And so, like, I work in a business department and, you know, teach business classes, entrepreneurship, organizational or management and organizational behavior, and also an introduction to business class. And, you know, I'm very straightforward with them that, you know, I'm here to give you game. And, like, while we'll talk about what these textbooks say, the things that are coming out of my mouth, you know, you need to take notes of those too and, you know, put just as much value in it, because I'm not coming from a perspective of trying to get $150 from you just off of a lot of information that's, you know, produced by the same people who are going to be recruiting you to, you know, underpay right. you in, sure. In the corporations. Like, it's a, and so, you know, a lot of times with undergraduate students that might not resonate, but, you know, as far as being an educator, I decided a long time ago, I'm here just to plant the seed. You know, I might have come back 50 years and get shade from that tree, but I did my job, you know what I'm saying?
I call that the Tupac principle, you know what I'm saying? I might not change the world, but I want to plant the seed in the mind that will eventually change the world.
Exactly. And I mean, that's exactly it, bro. You know,
you said something about constant enragement with the system, you know what I'm saying? And making that one your point of emphasis, like, I want to calm that, you know, in between my family. Like, when you see that going on in your 6 degrees of separation from your people, what's one of the first things you do to, you know, approach that? Like, I understand you're mad, but
let's channel that anger into something positive and productive, you know? Like, that's another big thing with me. I'm about that action, you know? I don't make room for the people around me to complain. Like, I mean, I'm gonna brainstorm some stuff with you. I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna provide you my resources. I'm gonna give you my game. I'm gonna open up my network to you. But, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and, you know, listen to you complain. And, you know, we kind of perpetuating the same thing. So, you know, I really say that my thing is just offering my service, whatever that might look like, whether that's the, you know, paid service or unpaid service, depending on the situation and the circumstance, but, you know, service.
You mentioned something earlier. I think you were talking about the private institution versus public schools, and it reminded me to, I think that was last week we were talking about it. I brought it up, an experience I had in second grade in the city, and then second grade in the county.
I think we had this.
I only went to the county school for, I want to say, a semester. But how old was I in second grade?
You were 7.
That's deep.
So, so at this point, at 7 years old, I'm looking at this like, why is the curriculum completely different between these two schools?
Yeah, right.
I'm saying most 7-year-olds wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Right. At 7, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Which led me to think and explore. And then as you get older, you see what China is doing in second grade. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's completely different than what the county school was doing.
Right.
I'm a firm believer that, like, all the children are capable. You know what I mean?
Sure, look at Sweden.
So why are we teaching them different things?
Right.
Now, what I will say, because we talked about this last week as well, and I want you to speak to both points, the differences, the reasons and rationale for differences in terms of what's being provided to the youth. Now, the other part of that was, as I mentioned, there was a very large stretch of my academics and youth where I went to school to escape my neighborhood,
right.
Home. I think Yo was joking, saying I went to school to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We went to school to eat,
Meals and things of that nature. So that being said, the conditions around that child are oftentimes not the same as well, which can make it more difficult at times. But that has nothing to do with just from out the gate, the curriculum is completely different.
Right. So with that example, I would say, I mean, it's like with anything else. You trace the money, and you trace the source, and like, what's the intent? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't really know what America's intent is with the next generations. I mean, I definitely know it's, I feel like it's obvious that it's to fit in, support the status quo, participate in groupthink, don't ask too many questions, and enjoy these big homes and big cars for doing that. So China is like, we're coming for the world. You know?
Yeah.
So all of those trinkets that you all are enjoying,
mm-hmm.
we making those. Them,
right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So I think that speaks to the difference. Mm-hmm. And so with the county and the city, I mean, it's similar in as far as the county might have. So some counties have bigger school budgets.
Right.
And so they can go the extra mile to have, you know, different type of programs or extend the curriculums or, you know, get supplemental things to go with the curriculum so that it's a totally new curriculum at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I don't, it seems like it's more of a stranglehold with funds and decision making with St. Louis public school system. In my humble opinion, from my standpoint, that's without ever working from that school district, but from working with that school district and then knowing, you know, what we see on the news, the kind of history of it, and, you know, just with conversations with people who are involved.
I was going to say oftentimes that children meet your expectations of them.
I'm seeing that so much right now. Like, my first graders are working on multiplication right now,
mm-hmm.
6 years old, and they are showing me that they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my third grade, fourth graders are doing division. And I mean, and really the first graders is right behind them, is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we see, you know, until I hit a brick wall where they are not getting it, and which with me, I'm holding them to the just as high as regard as I hold myself. I mean, to say that, you know, I'm going to say that these school districts are trash. I'm going to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do this. Like, I got to, you know, I'm too vocal about my displeasure and me having the confidence in myself that I can do better or at least provide an alternative that's more in line with the goals of my family.
Oh, yeah.
So my program is not better to create another person who's going to not ask questions and just fit within the system. My program is not going to do that. It doesn't even compare. So I think, you know, just not even saying that my direction or my approach is better, but it better meets the needs that I see can, you know, help my family, help my community.
Children, community.
And really just produce more informed, well-rounded people. Like, that's simple to me. Like, why don't we want well-informed, you know what I'm saying, well-rounded, critical thinkers? America don't invent anything.
And
it invents people.
Yeah, I was going to say two things to what you said. When I was saying, like, children tend to meet our expectations of them, I was also speaking to the differences between second grade and St. Louis public schools and second grade in the county. You know what I mean?
Right.
But also you mentioned your expectations of your children are the same, and no pressure to the youth, but I dare even say they're higher. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because children are literally sponges when they're young. It's a lot easier for them to pick things up. That's the reason why they lap us in technology and different things that are, you know, fresh for them, because we have this 30 years of education that was not based around technology that
right.
we're trying to add this on to. They're fresh to the world, and this is here. You know what
right.
I mean?
It's their whole frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
right, like you say, they don't have the back history.
They don't have to undo.
Yeah.
They don't have to unlearn. Yeah.
You got
to
remember when your teacher told you that you can't have a calculator in your pocket the whole time? And what do the people do? I think we can.
Right.
Well, and that was the thing. Like, even that's another thing that I questioned when I was a youth in school. Like, I didn't understand the purpose of the calculator. You know what I mean? Especially for what we were using it for. I'm like, and my father, expectations. Mm-hmm. Even if my father couldn't do the project, which he could oftentimes, but he would throw some things at me. Every time I got in the car with him, he would just throw multiplication and long division problems at me when I was a child. You know what I mean?
That must be great on road trips.
Quick thinking.
Right, right.
Yes. And so now, I mean, to this day, even in accounting, like I do all the math in my head, majority of the time. One, because it's what I'm accustomed to, and that's why in school it was difficult to show the math at times because, like, this is what I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then two, to make sure that I'm still sharp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You stay chiseled. Now, going to what you said about your dad constantly quizzing you. One of my six-year-old first graders that I'm talking about, he quiz his dad, or he asks his dad,
there you
like,
go.
You know what I'm saying? Give me a problem. And so, I don't know, just kind of hearing you say that and then just having that conversation with that family a couple of days ago, you know, it just puts things into perspective as far as those expectations are everything.
Right.
He want to practice. Yeah. Like,
and so, when you're getting it at home and within, you know, your institutional realm or your, you know, academic realm, then it becomes a part of you.
Yeah, that's for, yeah.
And like you say, and then it's get to the point where you do it to stay sharp and just stay chiseled like an MC. You know what I'm saying? Like J-Dad Versus. I ain't got nothing to prove, but it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just go out here and just stay sharp.
And that's that, when you mentioned J-Dad Versus, that's a great example because oftentimes, like, people who are at that, in that space and at that peak, their competition is their self anyway.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm pushing myself. I'm challenging myself. That way I don't play down to my competition. You know what I mean? Because I am my competition.
And I think whenever you get to that level, that's like how I identify success, you know. Mm-hmm. And no matter whether it's how much money being made, but once you get to that understanding that, you know, you your biggest competition because, you know, everybody else has different tools, different skills, different abilities, but you and yourself, you know, it's not always easy. It's not easy to hold yourself accountable, but we are the best people to hold ourselves accountable.
True.
You know what I mean?
That's for sure. One of the things that, as you're speaking about, you're talking about, you know, being able to do math in your head and having parents challenge themselves. One of the things that I wanted to ask you was, outside of the critical thinking and outside of deciphering fake information with the real stuff, how do you approach, like, language, you know what I'm saying, different languages, because in Sweden, you know, the second, third grader know at least two languages, conversationally at the very least. Right. When you say China is trying to take over the world, same deal. Well, how do you approach that topic?
Well, as fate would have it, I'm going to have to say, one of the parents in the co-op speaks French conversationally and volunteered to teach everybody French.
Just saying that. I need to learn her French to go to New Guinea.
And so my children on their second year of French. We had plans. We want to learn Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
My son used Google to teach himself Japanese and be saying stuff to us out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, strictly unprompted. I mean, I think he has his own ulterior motives for that.
Sure, of course.
I was gonna say, is it anime related?
Yeah. It's probably anime, but he also realized that, because we talk about global business, and business is done globally, and Asia is who we want to do business.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How old is your son?
He is 10.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And what else I want to reinforce with that? So, and then I found myself in, 2018, in France, not knowing how to speak the language after taking 2 years of high school French.
Damn. So how did you get over that? Just say, hey, you know, I'm just gonna kind of wing it. Do you speak English all through the trip? That type of deal.
So, first of all, like, American culture rules all of, I would say, you know, from my experience, like, Europe and the world, just, it's, you know how they say it's like a McDonald's in every country. Mm-hmm. So a lot, and then, you know, America spends and does a lot of business and money over there. So it's fairly easy to get around if you an English speaker, because they speak English. A lot of them speak English as a second language because they understand these Americans coming over here to spend their vacation or visit this.
Spend
or
their
do
vacation,
that.
Yeah. Spend their money. Yeah. I was about to say, like just like we said in business, you learn Chinese, you learn Japanese because it's a language of business. You know what else is a language of business?
English.
You know why? because all we do is consume.
You know? Right, right. That's
consume,
right.
Consume, consume, exactly. Consume. So, yeah, when you go to different countries, absolutely you know how to speak English because they're trying to get some of this money.
And then here you got in America where you have politicians fighting to take down signs in Spanish. Mm.
That's right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And being in denial that Spanish-speaking people play a big part in these economies in America. Like, let's stop
Los
playing.
Angeles. That's not English.
Not only that, but what I just said. Like, right. What, what benefit is it to English speakers that all of the rest of the world speaks two languages?
You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
And you just speak English.
And get at least very conversational by the age of your son, 10, at least by then. And yeah. Look, I speak one language. Actually, I speak two languages. I speak English and Ebonics. But hey, look, you know, yeah, that's I'm product of my environment. Look, we're going to take a quick break. This is what we do. We'll be right back.
How I feel to be a black man with your fists in the air trying to fight for your rights. How I feel to be a nigga with your finger on the trigger put a price on his life. How I feel to be a broke boy. Anything in the bank ain't a stain on his nights. And how I feel to be richer when every motherfucker trying to get a dime. Open up your mind. Fucking raw like a lover. Shooting out the car like a buster. Same OG like my father and my mother. Sherm sticks burn like perm shit. She used to swoop me in the granny bucket. We was fucking, she was busting, asking why I'm busting. Niggas thugging, why you never go to class or nothing. I don't need it, why your daddy acting like he tweaking? Cause he fiending, why you asking all these fucking questions? Line pressing during adolescence. In the pen, crippin' blood, just a point of reference. But I'm still saying cut like we killing something. Dreamed of killing something, then I did it. Can't forget it. Calling women bitches got me treating mama different. Hitting missions, rhyming in my mama kitchen. I ain't tripping, hell is waiting, let the karma kick in. But I'm just trying to kick it. Baby, slow it down. How I feel to be a black man with your fists in the air trying to fight for your rights. How I feel to be a nigga with your finger on the trigger put a price on his life. How I feel to be a broke boy. Anything in the bank ain't a stain on his nights. And how I feel to be richer when every motherfucker trying to get a dime. Open up your mind. Nigga, slow down, you moving too fast. Just might crash, might burn. Open up your mind, take your time. Baby, better wait your turn. Nigga, slow down, you moving too fast. Just might crash, might burn. Open up your mind, take your time. Baby, better wait your turn.
They go follow, the pretty girls follow. Them down home women and them city girls follow. That old lady think he's stealing, so she gon' follow. Photoshop it till they double tap it, they gon' follow. Yeah, that's all they looking for. Scroll up, can she roll up? Yeah, good to go. Harley got it floating, but you're looking, though. That's how it is, get it how you live. Gotta change it, but nothing changes until you plan and rearrange it. They call us niggas. What if I said I don't take offense to it? What if I told you I don't cringe to it? What if I looked whoever said it in his face and said, your kids love my shit, iPod's proof, I'm that nigga, check your kids' music, life lessons. I humble up every time I stumble up. I'm just that lion that ain't crying while I bust the jungle up. Skelly taught me that some friends are really temporary. And Bailey taught me that my little sister's looking at me. I tell you how it feel.
How I feel to be a black man with your fists in the air trying to fight for your rights. How I feel to be a nigga with your finger on the trigger put a price on his life. How I feel to be a broke boy. Anything in the bank ain't a stain on his nights. And how I feel to be richer when every motherfucker trying to get it down.
Open up your mind. Open up. We from the west side, we born to ride. They set us up for demise, it's time to rise. Am I a black king cause I'm full of pride? Or am I a nigga cause I like my chicken fried? My girl with thicker thighs, a tender ride to hide me while I'm getting high. My cousin died, that left me sick inside. 96, barely six, banging hypnotized. Singing Biggie Biggie, damn I miss my cousin City. Say that every time I rap, never gonna get tired of that. Count racks with my pack, that's where you can find me at. In the cut, cause it's too many niggas that's switching up. When you up, they love you, but when you down, they don't give a fuck. I tell you what, you think you turn cause you got put on, but what is you doing to put your hood on? I was the young nigga with the hood on, hands in my pockets and clutch until I realized we was all dying for nothing. So let me ask you something.
How I feel to be a black man with your fists in the air trying to fight for your rights. How I feel to be a nigga with your finger on the trigger put a price on his life. How I feel to be a broke boy. Anything in the bank ain't a stain on his nights. And how I feel to be richer when every motherfucker trying to get a dime. Open up your mind.
nigga, slow down. You moving too fast. Just might crash, might burn. Open up your mind. Take your time. Baby, better wait your turn. Nigga, slow down. You moving too fast. Just might crash, might burn. Open up your mind, take your time. Baby, better wait your turn. I got my hoodie on like Trayvon. They letting people get away with them hate crimes. Police shot him, how I wasn't no witness, it was daytime. Where this shit going, it's like racism still alive. Come as you are and represent with your life on. Young black kings just shining with our ice on. On stage telling you life stories, keep the lights on. Y'all been eating, but my people, we would like some. The youth need hope, the inspiration, they can use it now. I bump your music when in doubt or when I'm feeling down. A lot on my mind, I still try to use a smile. Just some young hot boys, they treat us like some juvenile. I started with the hottest label ever. Yeah, I came in a game like a kid with a cheat code. I'm from the neighborhood for the people. Sell drugs just to eat, try to leave, but they barely make it ever. Yeah, it's hard to make it out. The hood like the legal system. Easy and hard to make it out. Everybody got doubts. But I was down for the bout. I fought like Floyd Mayweather. I was screaming, hey, lover. But them chicks and them niggas, they ain't making no chips. Ain't lovable. Ain't huggable. Ain't fuckable. The feeling that it gave me in my stomach was despicable. So I flipped bricks, grabbed the whip. Then I pulled up in the six. They were screaming, hey, lover boy. A couple months passed. I grabbed another toy. They grabbed my motherboard. My mother's boy. Just like a TV with my sharp ass. You see me when I car pass. I paint pictures. I'm with the art class. I lived in. Raised by the good rules, embraced by my mother's rules. I learned lessons, I went to summer school. Hey, you talk this, I live this. I want this, I need this. I'm of this, I am this. Hey, you talk this, I live this. I walk this, I breathe this. I'm of this, I am this. Flip bricks like a gymnast. I'm cooked up like a chemist. Some drug dealers with my temp agency. Easy way for me to get the Benjamins. Used to be thirst, get the grants from any man. Then I came of age and I clipped the middleman. Nowadays I'm fucking with the shades to get paid. Still keep a sawed off gauge to riddle man. Y'all kidding me? Y'all little man. Need to respect your elders, be gentlemen. Whoever told y'all come fuck with Freezer. Was setting y'all dumb ass up for failure. Still keep a hammer and I'm quick to nail ya. Billy D. Williams, bitch, come for a fever. Leave y'all leaning like a Sprite 2 liter. With
Welcome back to what we doing. Them last two songs I played was Mind Trap by Audio Push. Those some young brothers that really get it. I don't think they get the recognition they deserve. And that last cut, it's called Lived It with Free Reign Girl Talk. That is about 7-8 years old, I want to say it is.
Oh, you said Girl Talk. I do remember when that came out.
You do remember it came out? Yeah, he's actually a white producer. Pretty hard, but we sitting there talking to Dr. Horrellis, Sovereign University, man. And before we went to break, we kind of talked about language and barrier. You kind of went down the road of how everything is set up. So kind of give the people a kind of day to day setup on how you run things.
Okay, so we start off each morning with mindfulness. And so that's we really giving our scholars the opportunity just to say what's on their mind. We give them some kind of positive things to kind of help guide the direction of the day as far as, you know, some things they had their mind on. We do had time for visualization and meditation. That's usually how we start off every morning. And then generally we get into some STEM, you know, some science or some math. That's a lot of people kind of know me and look at what we do. And, you know, I think that the closest model that they know may be like the independent African schools or like an African study school. But in my mind, we kind of STEM focus because I just see that as being opportunities for the future. And I'm not here for intellectual masturbation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got you have to know the foundation because it is real that having that understanding of where you come from and like what's inside of you, you know, can kind of help you on your path to greatness going forward. But we're here to change people's lives and to change families' lives and to give the children and the youth the opportunities that we didn't have, the things that once we got in, we're like, why am I just now learning this? You know, and then, like we said, going through that process of unschooling. So, you know, STEM, very, very heavy STEM focus. Lunch, or either some days we'll do PE in the morning before lunch. And then usually the evenings, they have French a couple times a week. And the other days, you know, we're doing, having our discussions on our broad topics. And so like, so general day, you know, might be the mindfulness, hour of STEM, math or something, some, you know, lunch, French, and then a group discussion on, you know, whatever topic. Our first topic for this school year, this term, was the science of self. And so, yeah, even with young children, you know, like we were talking about, not trying to set a limit of what they can understand or interpret. You know, I'm setting the bar high, and if you don't get all of it, you're gonna get a little piece of it. And you know, once in a couple of months, you know, or maybe in a couple of years, you'll get some more information that can add on to that or put that into a better perspective. And so, other than those, kind of like set things, so like math, French, PE, mindfulness, and our discussions. The other things are like exploratory time where we'll take out, you know, like maybe the electrical set and other kind of classroom tools or sets of kits that we have, and they kind of get the opportunity to go and just kind of figure things out and tinker and get a new interest. Play with some microscopes, put some things under a slide, see what you see, ask some questions, draw it out, look it up on Google and try to see if you can kind of, you know, piece the information together, that real exploratory time. And then other things like games, you know, to where after we've been talking about something, okay, now we're going to do a game to kind of quiz you all over it. Competitions.
Okay.
You know, we infamous for the multiplication drills, where you know, I'm in the front of the classroom with a bag of coins. Whoever the first person to call out the answer to the multiplication answer get that much change. And so, you know, might leave school with an extra $1.75 that you didn't have if you're quick enough on the multiplication.
Oh, that's tight.
So, and I mean, and it motivates them to get some going. And you got the first graders really giving competition to like a fifth grader. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that fifth grade ain't no punk. But you know, that's just how we set, where it's like, you might not get them, but it might be really quick on the draw on one of the answers, or you know, things like that. So it's really, I mean, and whatever the parents say that they need their children to work on, we figure out a way to get that into the curriculum, so we have full control of.
Okay, so is it more like a block scheduling for each a parent and that type of stuff? On Tuesdays we do this, Wednesdays we do this, that type of thing.
Pretty much.
Kind of, okay.
Yep. But I mean, but at the same time, it's enough flexibility built into it to where if it's one day where everybody mind is just on one thing, we can kind of steer things to kind of, you know, mm-hmm. figure something out with that. Or, you know, we always have a thing where it's like if somebody asks a question that I don't have an answer to, then I challenge them to do some research on it. Use our library.
Bring it back.
You know, mm-hmm. I'll give you maybe a couple of websites that you can go to and get something from. And, you know, tomorrow during at the same time, you come and tell us what the answer is.
You know? I got you.
And that's, that is a beautiful thing, seeing them hold each other accountable and just seeing all of the learning that would not have happened if it was just like, I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Next thing. Let's go on to the next thing that's on my schedule in my book. You know, and I think a lot of times educators expect learners to meet them where they're at, and that's the absolute wrong approach if you're really trying to reach people.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, and in every aspect of life, we are all marketed to, you know, mm-hmm. but nobody's doing anything to make learning look sexy.
That's true.
You know, like, I mean, I'm talking about not picket fence in the suburbs and a family and a big truck sexy. I'm talking about bags of money out here living, going on vacation, doing what I want to with my time, you know, making it look sexy like that. But it's a lot of educated people who have designed them type of lives for themselves.
A
lot. You know what I'm saying? And so it's, you know, that's really a point with me is to market education. It's not something that you have to do or that you have to get through. It's something that you should want to have for yourself because you understand the benefits of it. Now, if the benefits aren't anything but a $60,000 job and a house in the suburbs and more bills than you can handle, then education is not going to, you know what I'm saying, look sexy.
I don't want to say that. Essentially, we talk often. I know one of the elders, it may be an ancestor at this point, used to say that traditional schooling teaches you how to be a successful white man, mm-hmm. which is not really effective for a black woman or a black man or, yeah. or a white woman or anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's real.
So, you know, the white picket fence and all of that, you know, does not appeal to everyone. But more and more, like, segments of our culture are becoming more and more and more and more educated, yet we don't benefit from it because it's not set up that way. So one thing I really like about the way you wrote out the curriculum, et cetera, is like, for example, with STEM, science, even the arts, like we kind of frown upon the arts because it's not business per se.
Right.
But all of that is creative.
Right.
And what we need is we need solutions. So we need creation. We don't need to be cut of the mold, just duplicates. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? We need to be able to create. Another thing I appreciate that I actually saw firsthand when we were doing pop-ups in the community with the schooling prior to, literally in the neighborhoods teaching whoever came into the schools.
Right.
pace setting. So as you stated, with your children who are already stellar and have dad who's a master teacher at home, but also with some of the other children in the community who are older, them being able to set the pace for the youth, I was able to see firsthand the 6-year-olds and the 7-year-olds, like we're teaching everyone the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prepared to break off into smaller groups if 6-year-olds aren't following today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 5-year-olds, like, they just not having it today. They don't have, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So something around that we were prepared to break off and work with them on. But more often than not, you know, some of the best answers and some of the most thoughtful suggestions came from the children. You know what I mean? From the younger
just,
children.
Because they just coming up with, come to their head. They're not processing through stuff they knew before or how it may seem. They just, this right. is what it looks like to me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the most simplest answer that you come up with. You know
and
what
accountability
mean?
Goes a long way. So one thing I said is like, expectations set the bar. The expectations we have for the children, you know, they generally tend to meet those expectations. So when you have the expectations for the children as a whole, another elder told me that one of the best ways to get a let's just say a young black boy, for example, one of the best ways to get a young black boy to fall in line on behavior, et cetera, is to put him around other young black boys who are already doing that. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
So if the expectation and the bar is already set,
right.
And then the examples he has around them, peer, we want to fit in with our peers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If they take care of business, that's generally what's going to happen. So the same thing happens with the pace setting of the older students
right.
when the younger students kind of see people they look up to and respect, and they want to be like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm getting more curious into like the layout of your classroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The layout, the structure, and also kind of how you get people on board with what you got going on.
Okay, so one thing is I don't necessarily try to get people on board with it, but mm-hmm. for the people who are already here, I'm gonna give you 200%. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So like, people are understanding the need and having a greater appreciation for independent education after a lot of people were forced to, you know, independently educate their children due to, you know, COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I don't know. I just observed the need for it a lot before that, and so I'm meeting people where they are.
Okay.
The independent education is not for everyone. A lot of people want their children to get that education that's going to get them in a university and set them up with the white picket fence in the suburbs. That's mm-hmm. what they want. And, you know, but for the parents who don't necessarily want that, who are, even if they don't want exactly what I want, if they're just open to different ideas, you know, mm-hmm. I'm for those people. Sovereign University is for those people. This program works best for, you know, for people who already kind of get it. And it generally ends up being families of small business owners, entrepreneurs, mm. creatives, maybe even gig workers, but people who just kind of out here piecing things together and making their own way, so to speak, and who have, you know, in certain terms, opted out of the traditional systems already.
Okay.
So usually the education is just kind of like a, oh, well, okay, yeah, I don't work for anyone. I have my own business. I set my own terms, but I still drop my children off at a school that's ran by the state every day. So I think this is a good alternative for those families. And just for as far as a typical day, so this takes place in my home.
Okay.
Every day I change my dining room into a classroom, move the dining room stuff out, bring in a desk, and, you know, set it up for the classroom. And, you know, our scholars come in, and we get to business. Like I say, I have certain objectives as far as things they have to complete within the week, but they have time to ask questions and to explore and, you know, to come up with ideas and to do creative things. And so, but, I mean, we still get busy. And, I mean, even though they gonna get that, they know that at the end of the week, when it's Friday afternoon and that's more of like a freer time, If all your things not checked off, you don't have everything done, and you're gonna spend, you know, Friday afternoon doing that, mm-hmm. and you know that's what it is. But the parents are definitely very hands on with just making sure that we meet all of, like, say, you know, Missouri State curriculums. It's a red state, so in my opinion, Missouri's kind of lax with the homeschooling rules and what you need to have and save and show and do. So in my mind, I mean, my curriculum is more thorough than what's required by the state, definitely. So it's just, you know, record keeping, which, you know, my background in higher education and administration and student services definitely comes in hand. My experience as an entrepreneur and a creative definitely comes into play with just being able to be flexible to say, okay, you all not necessarily feeling this today. You know, I'm going to step out of myself, put down my ego, and we're going to try to see what, you know, go the direction you all want to go to and see if you all learn more.
I hear that.
Generally, it works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just.
So, are we seeing the scholars every day, or you're seeing the scholar when it's time for that subject to be there? The only person they're probably seeing every day is you, or how does that work?
So, they seeing me every day, definitely. We do have a teacher's assistant who does the mindfulness, and that's pretty much kind of her realm and what she's in charge of. And then also when we break out into small groups, she works with the younger students. She has more experience working with, you know, early childhood and kindergarten students, so she takes care of that. We have a parent that does French, as I said. I hired one of my childhood friends that is a CrossFit, you know, up and coming professional, and he handles PE mm-hmm. for us and that type of thing. And other members of my family, our family, come in and may do a discussion, you mm-hmm. know, every other week or something. So it's a very, you know, collective you know, it's a very collective situation. Like, I definitely design the structure and the objectives and, you know, making sure that we gonna hit everything that, you know, the state of Missouri requires for homeschool. But, you know, it's no one direct way of getting there every time.
So how do you handle, for lack of a better term, behavioral corrections? I mean, we are talking about younger kids and whatnot.
Now, I think that our children, being in these other systems, have gotten a bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of times it's frustrating, but in a lot of instances, I might have to check myself to think about who I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's like, it doesn't really work till young black boys and men just to sit down and shut up and just listen all day. Like, we got things to say. We are physical people. And it's not even necessarily a bad thing. You think of, like, you know, people get detention for slap boxing.
Yeah.
And that's just something you can do.
First and foremost, that's a very important skill to learn.
So slap box, that's real, too. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, while we playing, y'all mm-hmm. need to have that class here in school while you mm-hmm. punishing people mm-hmm. for this. You need to try to, you know, work with some of these students who are the best slap boxers and design a curriculum. So that's what I'm talking about as far as being creative. It's like, you know, thinking outside as far as the tools that we have and the objectives. But if your objective is not to necessarily produce young black men who can defend themselves
mm-hmm.
or who even understand the importance of that, then you're not going to teach it in those schools. And so as far as with behavior, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's quick to get sent to the steps if they get out of line.
Sent to the steps, I heard.
Sent to, and that's the infamous spot, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, in the home. You don't want to be sent to the steps. You know what I'm saying? A lot of frustration happens on the steps.
About crying, I would think.
Crying happens on the steps. You know, we had people trying to be mad and write on my walls over on the steps. But I see you out the corner of my eye, and you know what I'm saying? If you don't write on your walls at home, don't come in here writing on mine.
And if you do write on your walls at home,
don't come in here writing on mine. And if you live in this home and you're writing on these walls, then you really tripping.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
does the relationship with the parents help that deal, knowing where that child came from and knowing that parent, what I would believe, closer than the average, you know, school district? Does that help with that area?
Definitely. And I mean, most of the parents that I work with, like, they hear from my style mm-hmm. as far as instruction. And then also, I mean, reprimanding just sounds too hard, but just kind of setting things mm-hmm. in tone, like, they hear from my style, because it's, I mean, a 20-year-old white lady telling some black 12, 13-year-olds to sit down and stay in line is going to come across a lot different from me saying, bruh, I need you to chill for a minute. We going to get to it. Mm-hmm. Look, I'll give you time to do what you want to do. I'll give you time to have that conversation with her. Mm-hmm. I'll give y'all time to get y'all stuff together. But for right now, give me my time.
So
the reality is the presence of the black male in the household or in the classroom or any of that has had the utmost importance anyway, which is why oftentimes a tremendous African-American male teacher, which are far and few in between in terms of their presence, will be pushed into administration because it's like, what you do is amazing.
Yeah. But get out
but
of here.
But you only got this for this one class. We did this for the whole school. Yeah. So we're going to move you over here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So I was, when you said, how you go about disciplinarian or discipline issues, I was going to ask, do you have a lot of discipline issues?
It is not even. And then, like, a big thing, like, most of my scholars, like, they related to us in one way or another. We have, it's a couple of families that aren't, you know, blood but with either my wife or I, but you know,
when you've been doing community work for a while, your family and community grows and expands.
Definitely. And so a lot of them are blood family, and a lot of them are extended family from us working in the community and, you know, just kind of making their presence known and setting that understanding. So I mean, we do have disciplinary issues, but like, I'm the you got to deal with me. I'm the final boss.
Can't call nobody. It's me.
You know what I'm saying? If anything, I'm going to FaceTime your mom.
For you.
So we can just get straight to the root of it. And that happens. And, you know, you get
it's facing up pretty quick. Yeah. I heard that. So look, with Dr. Harrell, man, we're talking about Southern University. We're going to take a quick break. But as always, follow us on social media. We'll be doing STL, the movement. You can check us out here on My City, My Music. You want to get into some more content. You can check it up at whatwedoinstl.com. We'll be right back.
What's the word? You want to play that?
Disappointed. Now I believe in a lot of things. Believe karma, real believe. All I can't believe. The Bible is rewritten and preached to be bullshit. So when they speak, believe. Not a thing. Believe ML King had a dream for real. He in heaven and we dealing with the demons still. Like an episode of Pinky and the Brain for real. Wanna run a real roulette thing for real. Well, goddamn. Hold up, what you think gonna happen when you die, my man? Even better, what you gonna do when they push you in the fire, my man? Well, I'm a sinner. True. But not like you. I ain't being malicious in the shit I do. Yeah, I might smoke me a blunt or two. Menage a month or two. Stay up there to get some money. Shit, I wanna do law, but I can't go to school and get the money too. Rather give me 50 years than a scholarship. Anything to keep me out of politics. I believe politicians pull a lot of tricks. The war on drug, crack, epidemic, all of that. The death of Bob Marley and Malcolm X. Pocket bigger too, but I ain't really sure of that. Believe Jesus died for my sins. Don't need no fake image for me to hide behind, man. The KKK and the USA got a thing like Superman got for Lois Lane. Hunker sound, lippin' lady, just a dress up. Grabbing on the pussy, yelling, show that thing. Let me be clear, I ain't trying to say there's no black thing or white thing. Just a dead wrong and right thing. Believe white supremacy, think I don't see. Everything they trying to bring down on me. Like the stop and frisk, mass incarceration, the perpetuation of recidivism. That mean they create a system hard to break. That what me is still behind bar today. Columbus Day, you believe a holiday. What about Capone and Doc Holliday? Lucky Luciano, John Gotti Day. Bumpy Johnson and the Larry Hoover Day. Happy Meech Day, happy Tukey Day, happy Hitler Day. Sounds stupid, eh? Heck of hypocrisy and more American than democracy. Far as I can see, the Constitution won for folk who look like me, and that's what I believe.
I wanna be better, but you're down at the moment. Give that shit to God, it'd be better in the morning. Still think your skin make you way more important.
God, you are just a man. Wanna take advantage of a lesser man. Build a wall, keeping up the Mexican. Go to Standing Rock and wanna poison water, just like Michigan. I ain't disobedient. If I learned anything I've seen, any bitch can be president. Hold up, I say that nigga hostile. Get the yellow flare in they nostril. Hold up, God never said the weapons wouldn't form. He just said they wouldn't prosper.
Stand for your people, yeah. Stand, lift your brother up. It's time, lift your sister up. About to do some more play. Oh, you want that all, eh? How you doing them is very similar to my case. Neighborhood like a battlefield. We are not safe.
I believe we are not safe. I believe we are not safe. I believe that what I believe. That what I believe we are not safe. I believe we are not safe. I believe we are not safe. That what I believe we are not safe. That what I believe. That what I believe. Hey.
Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong on that. Sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could've died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their
breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
I'll
be where I wanna be. Listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be. Up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful. Some men be rapists, so act your age. Don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can.
Be what I want to
be. If I work hard at it,
I'll be where I want to
be. Now,
go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush. Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He wasn't shocked that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen.
I know I can,
be what I wanna
be.
If I work hard at it,
I'll
be where I wanna
be.
Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.
Welcome back to What We Doing, man. That last song was a special request by a guest and his wonderful children, Anais, I Can, which I think pretty much nails what's going on with you, man.
Definitely. Definitely. That song set a lot of context. Shout out to Sean Sophia. It's my oldest daughter. It's one of her favorite songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, she try and play cool, but she spit it line for line, you know what I'm saying? Like a true MC.
Like a true MC.
You know, she get busy.
I appreciate the those closing lines that I forgot about. Save the music, y'all. Save the music. I mean, that's a message that we definitely missed to an extent, but now that music and entertainment in general has become more and more public-facing and the ease of access is easier, you see that there's a lot of quality content out there still.
Yeah, that's the one thing we learned about, I call the dark period in rap, is in around 2006, 2000, you know, 10 or whatever, you had to go search for your music, you know, talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, I actually literally.
Sounds
I think,
something like. Burm, burm, dur,
you know,
no shade. No so shade. I actually turned my radio off in about 2006. I have
oh,
not
yeah,
turned my
for
radio
sure.
off since 2006.
I will not do it. I almost left the genre because of that area. We all had our little party favorites. Cool, you know. Right. That's not what I'm talking about. But all day, every day, by everybody. Come on, that's nuts. So we're talking about Sovereign University, man. I so far, man, everything I heard is wonderful. It's definitely needed in St. Louis beyond anybody anywhere else.
Appreciate it.
So kind of give us kind of the outlook for the future, where you kind of want to go with this, kind of where you want to see it be at, stuff like that.
I just really recently started thinking, I guess you could say this big, but I think we need a sovereign university, or even if it's not a sovereign university, we need these type of co-ops in every neighborhood. So right now we on the West End.
West Side.
You know what I'm saying? West Side. But we need one in Soulor. We need one
on the North.
On the North. No, we need one North. Midtown. We need we need Walnut Park. Mm-hmm. We need, you know what I'm saying? We need Penrose. We need all of these different sovereign university esque, even if it's not sovereign university specific. These type of organizations, where it's leaders in the community taking charge and saying, if we don't like what's going on, we're not going to try to rebuild their system or, you know, change it from the inside or reform it. You know what I'm saying? This is not a exercise in reformation. This is revolution. So we
come on with it.
That system doesn't work for us. That's not even what we into doing. It doesn't serve us. So let's create something that can. And it goes to that, you know, I don't want to see that at the table. I want like-minded people to help build our own furniture.
And a part of ceteris paribus, what people don't understand is a part of keeping things the same is this delusion that you can change things.
Right.
A seat at the table does shift things.
Right.
When the reality is, a seat at the table is a part of the pacification process to keep you distracted. You know what I mean?
Right. Instead of that illusion of inclusion.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So they can prop you up as a diversity people and put you on the front of their website. With, you know what I'm saying? And if you're like a, you know, black queer women, you check off three boxes.
Yo, that's for real.
What was the, we brought it up, mentioned in Malcolm X's book, Malcolm X's autobiography. You just talked about it in terms of being a poster child. I lost my train of thought.
Man, it's losing my mind at time. I've been so Malcolm X'd out so lately. I got a lot of things.
And a lot of times it's so ingrained in me that I forget where the source come from, because I just made it a part of what I do. So it's like, I got the message. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the messenger, but the message is what I really hold on to with a lot of things. And then it's like, I go back and read something, like, oh, that's where I got that from. Well, that was the first time that seed was planted in me.
But where did they get it from? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all our legacy. It's all our heritage. It's all our ancestry. You know what I'm saying? It's literally written in our DNA. So we're just regurgitating our ancestors.
Right. And, you know what I'm saying? That go back to our first topic, the science of self. These are the exact type of conversations that we was having with the children, that, you know, it's information encoded in your DNA. And to give a little example, so we talked about the science of self. We talked about how patterns are found all throughout nature. And a pattern, like, let's say a fractal of a lightning strike, looks just like a blood vessel, looks just like a river network, looks just tree like branches. Tree roots or tree branches, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's no mistake, that's no coincidence, that's intelligent design, and it's information within those patterns. And so then we think about, you know, our bodies and having information that's passed down throughout, you know, our generations and ancestry, and how different things we can do to tap into that information, or, you know, to bring it to the forefront. And, you know, just seeing the children make those connections and have those aha moments of these things that was like, for a lot of us, YouTube was our first introduction to it being that specific, as far as all of these things that you see, that you've seen, that you've been seeing the same patterns over and over and over. Nobody has ever said, hey, you see all these patterns are the same, even though you're familiar with them and it's never been put in context for you. Like, they get to skip that unlearning process. You know what I'm saying? Just bringing it back to that. That's really, you know, a big part of it. And so when we talk about, you know, where I want to go further with Sovereign University, lately I've been thinking a lot more of legacy. And it's great what I'm doing with the people in my small circle and my family, but it's a lot more people that need this. So what I want to do and what I feel like I'm charged to do right now is improve this model as much as I can, so that as more families understand this as a very feasible and beneficial alternative, you know, I can be in a position to help them based on, you know, us being early adapters. In my mind, even though I know I'm not the first, you know what I'm saying, homeschooling parent, there aren't a lot of homeschool dads And so a lot of the kind of networks and things that I see is very is driven toward the women, and it's like homeschool mom or homeschool sister girl. This,
okay,
and, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah. I want some of that information, but mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to sign up for homeschool homegirls. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, bro? I respectfully disagree. I say reach out. You know what I mean? It's a lot of spaces where, like you stated, we talk about healing,
mm-hmm.
we talk about herbalism. We talk about gardening. We talk about a lot of different things that you know that I do on a regular basis.
Right.
A lot of the spaces for them are black women. I surely enough, as a black male, go chat. You know what I'm saying? I want to ensure that I'm not overstepping on toes, overstepping boundaries. And it's always love. It's always received. Like, no, this is just what it is because this is traditionally what it's been.
Right.
It's kind of like,
and I definitely understand
when we're doing
that.
Community work, mm-hmm. you see the same people. And so the expectations become, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So my learning and my understanding is that it was set up that way just because that's what they were accustomed to receiving.
Yeah, I had to agree with that.
So as you're currently set up, if somebody wanted to adopt a model like yours for, you know, maybe their family circle, are you equipped to give them at least something, or what would you do in that instance? Say, hey, man, I dig it. How would I set that up?
I mean, it'd probably be a combination of consultation and then, you know, working on curriculum together for whatever their specific family needs and goals are. And I mean, most likely it'd probably be kind of in tune with what we're doing, so they would definitely have access to you know, our curriculums and our experiences and all of the tools and resources that we use. And I just think that, like, homeschooling and independent education, because I don't even see it as, because when I say independent education, I'm talking about homeschooling, I'm talking about road schooling where people drive across the country and teach
on buses.
I'm talking about world schooling where it's people that do international things.
Okay.
And so, and you know, and then it's things like where it may not happen in a home, but it's a co-op or a group of people who have just come together and say, you know, this is what we're going to do. So with independent education, you know, I want Sovereign University just to be like a trusted source of knowledge, and anyone that would be partnering up with me, you know, at this point, I'm very open and giving because I just want this style and this method to spread. And I really want families to understand that they have the tools to access the things that they want. And I mean, I guess kind of that goes with a larger part of me and who I am, just as far as you know, working to figure things out myself and use my network before I'm quick to, like, kind of reach out or rely on something else. And that's not to say that I'll always have the answers, mm-hmm. but I think when you really just kind of focus internally first, you surprise yourself what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's and I know, you know, with me being, like, having experience within the traditional education system, even people that don't, you know, everybody is an expert in something.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And whether you are expert in things not to do and all the wrong things to do, you need to be teaching that class.
The surviving life class.
Yeah.
That type of deal.
I do. That's one thing I do appreciate about your school is the guest instructors or speakers, like people in the community, whether you have a nursing background and you're coming in when we're doing science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole host of different things. But in addition to, like, based upon the language of discussions so far, has Sovereign University grown to the point where you're starting to turn away students?
Mm-hmm.
Not quite. We definitely get a lot of interest. I think, you know, some people, like, love what we're doing. It looks great. It sounds good. But they still might be just hesitant to kind of turn that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I say, I meet people where they are. I definitely expect some of the families that have shown interest now but haven't joined us, like, within the coming years, to kind of have that come on back home and, like, we've been waiting on you moment. And I'm going to be here for them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I meet people where they are when they ready. You know, whenever people are ready, I just want to make sure I'm prepared to offer the assistance and the services that they need.
And the reason why I ask that is because throughout this conversation, we've continuously talked about growth and development.
Right.
I know that when you're looking at these West Side houses, those are literally school buildings anyway in terms of size and structure.
Yep.
But we're still looking for expansion in terms of additional buildings, things of that nature. But we keep talking about the co-op opportunities in terms of branching out and duplicating things, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But in semesters past, there's been open enrollment.
Right.
So I just wanted to ensure that our audience was aware that if there's still space to sign up and come on board, they're aware that that's an option as well.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely still having those conversations. For this current term, the last week we'll be having new scholars start will be that week of October 4th. But we'll have new people that can begin in the month of January. Mm-hmm. And then if they're not ready then, they can start, you know, they can come on in September. And then if not then, they can come next January, you know, the following January. So
how long are the terms?
So it's like 17-week terms. It's, okay. You know, it's a basic, you know, semester that models the traditional K-12 in higher education as far as, you know, being around. I think higher education is usually 16 weeks. But yeah, I was 17 weeks right now.
So when parents have questions about the college conversion rate, what do you kind of tell them about that? Like, I want to do this, but I also want them to kind of get some kind of college experience. Like, what do you tell them about that?
So it's ways to be creative about that, because a 16-year-old can mm-hmm. pass a GED and start yep. community college in January.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
my little cousin was at Northwest. We were talking about Northwest Academy last week. He was the starting point guard for the state champions.
Okay.
But he was in college when he was in high school.
Yep. And yes, I have a one of my own nephews is doing the same thing. Also, I mean, like, they're getting transcripts prepared just like they would mm-hmm. and records kept just like they would in a traditional school. And I would even go farther to say that it may be better because we keep a portfolio. And so you don't just have a sheet of paper with a stamp saying what you done or what you've accomplished. You have all of the work to show and prove.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just work. It's videos. It's, you know, art projects. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm ready to get some of my scholars published. So I want to be able to say, you know, you leave in your portfolio, you got some published work, you got some public speaking, mm-hmm. you got a business. And you wrote some papers. Like, I mean, a lot of people don't have that by the time they graduate high school. Some people don't have that by the time they graduate college.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't get that.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
But you know, but I feel like if you challenge to it as a youth and you see other 16 and 17-year-olds, just like what we was talking about, mm-hmm. you're going to think that's just what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I'm supposed to have a business and a bank account and understand about investing. And, you know, this is what
where is the lie? You absolutely have to. Yeah. You absolutely, at this point, it's not even a choice.
And
really.
So the lie happens in the traditional systems when those conversations aren't even discussed.
Omission of the truth is the lie.
You never talk about checking accounts and bills and balances, even that type of basic stuff, which is a huge part of your I don't want to say servitude, but your enslavement, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, right. in the traditional system. Another thing I truly appreciate that you mentioned earlier is with regards to the challenging the youth. When we talk about like your oldest son and challenging him or charging him to build a solar panel or reverse engineer something. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the regular day-to-day curriculum and then I forget what you call it, but
exploratory
times, like those type of things being exploratory, like that wouldn't happen. It would never happen in any institution I was at. You know what I mean?
I can't say that I had the pleasure either. And I mean, mm-hmm. and our resources are small. We work in, our exploratory is the things that, you know, we've as parents purchased or parents donated or something that's in my home. So, I mean, once we, you know, my classroom of what I see Sovereign, and I mean, and I'm not even going to say because I'm looking at this sooner than later. In the classroom, smart board, vinyl cutting machine, 3D printer, you know, things where you can really, mm-hmm. you know, surprise all of us, like, you made that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the type of moments that I'm waiting for.
And this is the time for them because they're young and they're sponges. Right. Because I don't know of, there is nobody in my life besides you, Busar, and a few other of my brothers, who are even aware that 3D printers exist.
Really?
And the fact that they're printing homes with 3D printers. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the scale is tremendous.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot of work to be done.
So when you have that conversation about things like your exploratory time being the stuff that you have in your home and stuff like that, even when people are not, I guess, directly involved with you, are you getting donations and resources from other places? Like, I like what you're doing. I'm not in a position to get involved, but definitely. I do have things for you.
Definitely, definitely. I would first say, like, our parents, like, they do more than just provide the agreed amount, you know, as far as what the cost of everything is. Mm-hmm. So I would say it definitely starts with, you know, the home base and the core of all of us going above and beyond. But yes, definitely donations from, you know, family, extended family. We had one of our guest speakers help the children do a fundraiser in a day and left them with a check.
Really?
And we've had other people who just like, you know, I see what you're doing on Facebook. What's your Cash App? And, you know, the community has been very helpful and supportive in that regard, as far as just, you know, kind of understanding what I'm doing. Even if people not necessarily ready to get on board, mm-hmm. and they get it, they understand, mm-hmm. and they kind of see, you know, they know that I'm not just, you know, this is not anything out of ego, or it's not my school, or
right,
anything
right.
like that. It's you know, me taking a lead with a group of families who ready to take it to the next level. And I mean, it's that simple to me.
You know, that really makes me happy to hear that, because one of the things that we, especially being in St. Louis, mm-hmm. is that when you start off something like that, the first thing is always negativity. Nobody's going for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you have the right idea, but how are you going to go? Who's going to go into that? Mm-hmm. Why would you even do anything like that? And to see that people gravitate towards you, understand what you're doing, just exposes the need and the want for it in our community.
Definitely.
And I want people to hear that, because we might, like you say, we don't always know where it's at, you know what I'm saying, or even how to get there. So when somebody gives you at least an idea of the roadmap and they support, that goes a long way, especially in a city like this.
That definitely goes a long way. And you know, I share it with the scholars. I tell them, you know, some people donated some food or donated some money to you all. Mm-hmm. Like, people support what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. I want them to understand that as well. That, you know, we holding you to this high regard, but you know, you have people who you don't even know or may not ever see who are supporting you and who you have to be accountable to.
I hear that. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So man, that's wonderful. I don't have any children, but knowing that my nephews can possibly get involved with something like that,
yeah.
is it gives you hope, because one of the reasons why people even leave the city is to get education somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because of the St. Louis public schools and all the bullshit they go through. So the fact that I'm sitting there talking to someone who is setting up the alternative, I don't have to go by what I heard or what I read somewhere. I can say, hey, if you want to know something, you can talk to you. You know what I mean? That helps. Past knowledge helps. And I'm glad. I thank you a million times over for coming on the show to get over there.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you all. Appreciate you all opening up the platform. One thing as far as our model that we really didn't get into is, like, we're very heavy with pushing and encouraging entrepreneurship with our youth. And I mean, we've gotten a great response from it. I've had people, you know, even the young people, they starting to write kind of the basics of their business plan. Mm-hmm. Throughout every week, they get an allotted amount of time to either write or work on something. My son, he's leading, you know, he's a creative, and so he has Sovereign Art, in which he's doing his thing, and he works on animation and live action film shot with us. You know,
there you go.
Need to move into that NFT space. And I mean, the future is here, the future is now. We're in the information age, and you know, we're putting in that work.
That's tight, man. Like I say, you definitely have to come back, because I want to get kind of into some of the topics that you bring in as far as people integrating that type of stuff into their daily lives.
Right.
You're definitely a very highly intelligent brother, so we appreciate talk about it. A whole host of things on the show that I like to kick into. But before we get in out of here, mm-hmm. let everybody know how to find you.
Okay, so we on social media platforms, Sovereign University. Our website, sovereignuniv.com. So that's SOVEREIGNUNIV.com.
I got one other parting thought as well before we get out of here. I would like for you to run down as a child of hip hop. Give me your top five of all time.
Okay,
artists or albums or what?
Artists.
Oh, all right.
Sheesh.
Put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
No particular order.
No particular order.
All right. First off, Can Outkast be one?
Nope.
They will be 5B because they're still a group. So
right,
we're not counting. I wore 5B.
So. All right. So individuals, Talib Kweli, Ghostface. Maybe Doom. Let's see. Talib Kweli, Ghostface, Doom. Can't front on Jay-Z. He definitely throughout my, you know what I'm saying? Like, he definitely been one of my top MCs for a while.
I had that conversation with Victor Newman the other day. He said, as much time as I've been spending in my life not being a fan of Jay-Z, he got some of my favorite albums.
Yeah, and
at least,
I mean,
five of them.
Yeah, and I was, I mean, I can't even say that. Like, I was an instant fan of Jay-Z, and even though it's more, you know, certain, like, content or albums or perspectives or approaches that I like more than others.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? All in all, you know, definitely he has some of my favorite stuff.
So that's four.
So that's four, and I can't use Outkast. Lauryn Hill?
Fair enough. And you know, with that, now you know you got to come back. Now we got to get to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, but we are definitely out of here, man. It's your man, HT Sims.
St. Louis Red.
With Dr. Herrera, we out of this. What we doing?
Nope. I apologize to Lauryn Hill. I don't know what I've been doing with my life.
On your money, motherfucker. It's really going down in the side. Sweet Jones, yes. Slipping and dipping, sipping and brain dripping. Watching live through my rearview mirror. I ain't tripping. I done rolled with the best and acted bad in the worst. It is a commodity, bitch. The first come first. Slipping and dipping, sipping and brain dripping. Watching live through my rearview mirror. I ain't tripping. I done rolled with the best and acted bad in the worst. It is a commodity, bitch. The first come first. They say they were animals. My mob is perverse. They ain't overstanding us, nigga. My life ain't rehearsed.